Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Listen, there's no higher praise. Let's praise the Lord. He is worthy and worthy to be praised. Has the Lord done anything for you this week? Let's praise His holy name. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we worship You and we praise You. And we give You honor this morning, Lord. Father, we thank You for Your presence this morning. God, we thank You, Lord, as Your vessel will decrease and You will increase, that, God, You will open blind eyes, that You'll unplug spiritually closed ears, and, God, You'll allow us to see something from the realm of Your awesomeness and godliness, God, that we, Father, would take a bow before You, worshiping You in spirit and in truth. Father, we give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory for who You are. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and everyone said, amen. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. Well, I'm excited that you're here, but I'm more excited that the Lord's here. So I want to battle through some. I just blew my voice out praising. Praise and worship's fault. Right? All right, that's okay. We're going to get through this, and we're going to have a godly time anyway. But I'm going to tell you, I got a message for you today. It's pretty simple. I want to tell you all happy Thanksgiving. That's it. Happy Thanksgiving. All right, it's good. Okay, let's pray and let's go eat now. All right. I'm just kidding. That kind of from the heart, though, just for a minute. But the truth is this, is that today is Thanksgiving celebration for my church. Some of you I haven't seen for a while. Some of you just blessed me, you know. It's like Shorty came in this morning, and Shorty said, man, we chased him for 30 years in the streets. And he came in this morning, and he said, man, today, 7 months and 2 days of sobriety. Yeah. Yes. Yep. So you think about that, whoever you're pursuing for righteousness, that's okay. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. You just keep doing what God called you to do. And remember, today we're going to talk about thankfulness, and the truth is, if He's already done it for you, He wants to do it for them. Amen. So now that I look at Shorty sitting in that chair after all those years of me talking to him, and he was so drunk he could, had to always ignore me, at least he thought, you know, God never quit on him. God loves Shorty, amen. And, you know, you look at how God redeemed and healed and set free. Man, He already did that for all of us. I mean, let's keep it real, man. I mean, we might have some hard times, but, man, look what God's already did in our deepest, darkest hurts, our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We've been at the bottom of the muck and mire. You know what? I remember at one time where I felt like the lowest thing in the world was whale poop, and I was just a little bit notch underneath of that. I remember being down and out and counted out and the whole world being against me. I remember being homicidal and suicidal. I felt like the only thing I wanted to do is check out. Why has it always got to be about me? But I'm telling you, in the midst of that muck and mire, God met me right in the middle of my mess, and He took my mess and He made it a mess. He's just like He did you. He began to redeem and heal and restore so He can get greatness out of you. You was created with purpose, and the purpose is to praise a risen Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So this message this morning, I'm trying to tone it down, is on thankfulness. But it's hard to tone it down when God's done a lot for you. Can you say amen? Amen. And so, you know, we said that last night. We walked into our Saturday evening service, and there's a young lady from some time ago, and we did. She was so beat up by the world in rehab last night that we didn't even recognize who she was. But let me tell you the truth. That's what the enemy will do. He will wipe your identity out. He will beat you beyond human recognition. He will maim you and humiliate you and think you don't have back a comeback story. But let me tell you, the devil is a liar. Then we've seen another brother that we pursued for the last couple of years, year and a half or so. And, you know, and he was on fire chasing women instead of God. And he's made a bad decision and at the altar of brokenness and repentance and building. And God was doing something in his life. All of a sudden, he made the next bad decision. And we seen him last night. And he asked a question. And the question was? How do you surrender? Just exactly like you did before, but do it right this time. Right. With all your heart. With all your heart. Quit acting and playing and faking the Jesus lover and go ahead and sell out to him and let him have everything about you. So that's why this morning I open up with that saying this is that every night in the streets or no matter where we go, if it's the workplace, it doesn't matter if we're at a restaurant, you are called if someone cuts you that you're to bleed Jesus Christ. You're to tell them that stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you walk into a place and they say the hair begins to step up on the back of their neck, they know that they're in the presence of a living God. They know they're in the presence of a Holy Spirit that's alive and working sharper than a two-edged sword. They begin to take note of who your Savior Jesus Christ was. It don't matter how the world's already labeled you. It doesn't matter what your past has been. But let me tell you something. We got something to preach on here today because we have a thankful congregation. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you one more chance. Now, I know we're being washed in 3 or 4 countries. I know that we're being washed all over the United States of America. And I want to tell you something. I don't care. Amen. What I care about is the people within the sound of my voice in this chapel. God has placed you and positioned you in the crosshairs of my life. And I'm telling you, I got you thinking right now, no matter how down, out, hurt, broken, breached, broke, busted, disgusted, and hijacked you might feel right now, I want you to know that God called you and ordained you for a time such as this. And everybody in here has got something to be thankful for, amen. I want you to just hit the pause button just a minute, and I want you to begin to think about your best time where God brought you from the depths of hell and he placed your feet upon a rock of salvation. And I want you now to stand with that thought in mind. I want you to praise him. Like you mean it. Oh, come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory. You're worthy, Father. You're worthy. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Lord. You are worthy. Yeah. From dope boy to church boy. From brokenness to victory. From incarcerated to freedom. From lost to found. That's who you are. Yes. Yeah. Hey, think about that. I was lost, but now I am found. I was addicted, but now I am free. I was darkness, but now I walk in the light. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. You can be seated if you want. Listen, when we talk about thankfulness around here, it's got a whole different perspective, amen? It's got a whole different perspective, and we can't blame nobody but God. And I pointed that old, wave your hand again, since there's some new people. Stand up, Todd. He just walks in here 4 weeks ago, or 8 weeks ago now. He's blind. Listen, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Listen. He came in here with a blind cane, and God opened his eyes and restored his vision. That's who God is. Yes. That's your God. That's my God. Woo. Yes. Well, I told you we was going to tone it down a little bit. We're coming in low today. But let me tell you something, man. When we're talking about Thanksgiving, the title of my sermons today is Thanks Living. What I'm hearing in and out and through you today is thanks living. When you should have been counted out, when you should have been wiped out, when you should have been checked out, God said, nope, I got one more move. God began to redeem and to heal and to restore you. And I preached this old message one time about a chess board. And if you know anything about a chess game, which I don't, there's all of a sudden when the king has you cornered up. But this guy walks into this mural, this painting is there in the World Chess Championship. And he walks in there and he's studying that painting. It's been up there for years. And he begins to look at it. He said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. He said, the king has one more move. The king always has one more move. So no matter how down and out, how hard and how dark our life has been, and even the tribulation and the ups and downs we're going through right now, I can tell you with confidence that God redeems and heals and restores and redirects our lives into his purpose. And if we'll just lean into his understanding and let go of that old rotten, dying, decaying flesh, God will begin to do what only God can do. He'll begin to give you a rebirth of thanksgiving, amen. He'll take you from the gutter of darkness, and he'll begin to restore you as a ruby made in the image of Jesus Christ. He'll take your very worst decision and he'll redeem you, and he'll put a fire shut up inside of you, and he'll heal you from the inside out. He'll begin to take you from the brokenness of life, and he'll begin to heal you. And my blind guy, Todd, said it the best. He said, Pastor, you don't understand it. I came in here blind, and I seen a little hole. He said, and all of a sudden, I'm back there, and my eyes go, boom, I can see everything. He said, but I don't believe in miracles. I laughed at him. I said, good thing you believe in Jesus then. So when you doubt in what he can do, you just go ahead and surrender to him. With all the doubt in the world, you watch how he changes your life, how he revalues you, how he repurposes you, and how he reassigns you. Today, standing in front of you is an ex-drug addict, an ex-alcoholic, an ex-homeless guy, an ex-broke guy, and I have a passion for the last 32 years of salvation to tell every person who is broken that Jesus Christ is always the answer. He's the answer to the darkness of your life. And we need to live in thanks living. Yes, he's worthy. Hallelujah. Everybody say that was free. The rest is a charge. I don't know if I want to preach today. I think God already is. But I want to talk to you this morning that thanks living is more than a holiday. Do you hear me? It's more than a holiday. I know a lot of you women have been cooking hard and getting things ready, and I appreciate it. Believe me, big guys like to eat. But that's really just not what it's about. I remember one time a friend texted me in one of the deepest, darkest moments of my life as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they texted me this real profound, prophetic word, and they said, I am so thankful for you. That simple message made me stop, and it made me realize really, truly how much I must be thankful for. The life that God's given me, the relationships, my home, my church, my family. It was a reminder that gratitude isn't just for big moments, but it's for everyday things. How often we forget to be thankful for what God's brought us from, what he's taken us through, and how he's redeemed our souls. We might reserve our gratitude for a holiday or a big blessing, but what if we treated thankfulness as a constant posture, not just a day? I got something that's going to hit you, and I really shared this, Jonathan, because when I read this years ago as an illustration, it made me think of you. And last night I shared again, brother, that 11 months ago, you're sitting in a Saturday night service and asking me where in the hell God was at. And I also shared last night how God's healed you from your hurt, how God's redeemed you, and how God has assigned you to work with children now. And this, when I got this, I used this specifically thinking of you. But listen to this. It's called the Thankful, Are We Thankful for the Thorns? It was about a woman named Sandra who had endured a deep loss and hardship, including the death of her child in a car accident, much like Jonathan. In a florist shop, a clerk gives her a bouquet of thorny rose stems, no flowers, without any flowers. It was called a Thanksgiving thorn bouquet. The banquet symbolizes something here. It's so important. It symbolizes gratitude for not only for the roses, which is the blessings but in life, but also for the thorns of suffering. So often we forget that God created us through the suffering too. Can you say amen? So I shared that, and I read that. Excuse me. And I read that, and I began to think, I was thinking of you, Jonathan. I'm being honest with you. So I watched how God's taken you, and you took them old thorny rose stems, and you put flowers back on them. That's kind of like your life, isn't it? Well, if the enemy intended for bad, God will get glory out of it. This morning, Thanksgiving means, there we go, Thanksgiving means we recognize that God's grace works even through pain, and that our thankfulness can include the hard, thorny parts of life. Today, we pause not only to celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving, but to reflect really, truly on a deeper spiritual truth. Thanksgiving is not just something we do, but it's something we live. It's something we live. Too often, we treat Thanksgiving or any other similar giving thanks times like just a singular event. But the Bible calls us into a lifelong posture of gratitude. And he tells us over and over again, remember what I did for you? And the question is, do you remember what he did for you? Amen. Say amen. Amen. This is a constant reminder for us. Too often we treat Thanksgiving just like haphazardly. We need this lifelong posture. So let me call this a life of thanks living sermon, okay? My voice is gone. Here we go. So that means that God's going to do something. You ready for it? Yeah. Me too, because I got some preaching to do, amen. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. You hear what I'm saying? I live this life, and the enemy does not want me to give thanks living this morning. The first thing I want to share with you this morning is this, the biblical foundation of Thanksgiving. The first part that I want to share with you is gratitude. It is God's will. Gratitude's God's will. Well, I thank God when he does something for me, and I'm going to forget what he already did for me, but I got an attitude. He ain't going to tell me. That church is out of the problem. My sister, so and so, she quit holding me accountable. I don't like when they call me out. I don't know what their problem is. All they do, they're judgmental. The whole church is. They're hypocrites. Everybody say, I'm part of the church. Welcome to the church of hypocrites, hypocrite. Amen. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and everything it says, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul tells us, give thanks, and he tells us to do it in all circumstances. It's telling us to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing. It's kind of hard to forget anything when you are rejoicing and when you are praying. So we need to rejoice and we need to pray, as Scripture tells us. We are called to give thanks not only when things are going well, but we're always to have an attitude of gratitude. That's the key for our success. Let me tell you something. If you've struggled ever with addiction, that's the key to overcoming addiction, being grateful for what God has already done. This is the will of God for you. And this isn't a suggestion. It describes what God's will is, and we read that. Listen, this was for us a path. Yeah, mic drop. That's a good one. Thank you for whoever did that. It's a path for spiritual maturity. It's a path to spiritual maturity. It shows how spiritual we are on how we act and how we react to what's going on in our lives. But we got to have an attitude of gratitude, even when things are ugly, amen? The second point, thanksgiving anchors us in God's goodness. So basically, a lot of times, he'll hit your pause button and set you down because he says, you need to get out of the way, flesh. All right, let me keep going. Don't get mad yet. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. It's telling us here to approach God with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures for all generations. Enter his presence with thanksgiving and praise, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. 107th Psalm, I'll repeat this a couple times today. Read it later. It's a beautiful long psalm. But it's talking about thanksgiving to the Lord for his great work of, here it is, deliverance. Has God delivered anybody in here today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ask somebody, tell me, well, I ain't never been addicted. That's not deliverance. That is deliverance. Yeah. But it's not just that. Has he ever delivered you from you?
Yeah.
Arrogance and pride and resentment and racism and everything we talk about from this pulpit, are we really set free in the presence of Jesus Christ or are we not? This is telling us something here. I've been teaching on it for 2 years if you've been upstairs with me. We're almost done. We got a couple more weeks. It should be another year. But we're talking about how to truly worship the Lord. I think you're starting to experience it up here, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you starting to experience it on the platform? Yeah, because now you're teaching them how to worship. So once the teacher has instructed the pupil on how to worship, you'll learn how to worship. And when you learn how to worship, it won't be contagious in this building no more. It'll spill up out of this building. Everywhere you go, they say, man, where you go to church? But I want some of that worship. Because worship is serious business in honoring God for who he is. But worship should be an expression always of gratitude. We're telling God, man, God, we worship you because no matter if you provide the house, it goes to God, not even if I get the house or the promotion, but God, I'm so sorry, but I worship you for who you are. Can you say amen?
Amen?
The psalmist repeatedly gives thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love. It says it endures forever. Forever. So when you're in those deep, dark prison systems, is his love there? Yeah. If you've been in prison, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about the penitentiary only. But you've been in some deep, dark spots in your life. But his love has endured forever. And we know that. We've experienced this. This psalm reminds us that thanksgiving is rooted in who God is, not just in what he gives me. We get that confused a lot. Third point, thanksgiving is it's as a sacrifice. Look at that. Thanksgiving as a sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. You'll hear this twice. So pay attention to it. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The Bible uses sacrificial language for gratitude. It uses sacrificial language for gratitude. Security just went crazy. Sorry, all the alarms went off. All of them's running now. All right, so that's all right. Everybody distracted good now? Todd, can you straighten that out when he comes back in? It's your buddy. All right, so that kind of distracted me anyway. The Bible uses sacrificial language for gratitude, consistently, intentionally, verbal expression of worship, continually. If you're doing something continually, it's hard to do something else, right? So if we're in that posture, we are called to offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that acknowledges his name consistently, intentionally, on purpose. God, I honor you. God, it's awful dark in this place I'm at right now. God, it's awful hard. The world's coming against me, God, but I honor you. I worship you. I praise you intentionally. I choose to worship you. I don't care what the world said. I don't care that the enemy's on my shoulders. I tell you, God, that I love you. I need you. I want you. Look at that. So the Bible is telling about this sacrificial language, the fruit of our lips, if you will, through Jesus. Let us continually offer to God a sacrificial praise unto him. This shows that thanksgiving isn't a passive, but an active and spiritual worship unto our Lord and Jesus. Fourth point, thankfulness colors everything we do. Look at that. It colors everything we do. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Let's check it out. Can we? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Put that up for us. In whatever you do. In some of the things you do. Is that what it says? In whatever you do. In word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Whatever you do, do it all, giving thanks to God. Living for God with a thankful, grateful heart is what he's after here. And according to Paul, even our daily words and our actions should flow out of gratitude, not only in church, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but the word that he's trying to drill to here is constantly giving praise and worship and honor intentionally and constantly to who he is. Everybody say, I miss that sometimes. And that's when we go around, ring around the rosy tree again, hit our head on the same branch with the same knot, and we begin to wonder, why me? The second point I want to bring out this morning is why. Why thanks living matters. Why? Everybody say, why?
Why?
But let me tell you, if you're thanks living, man, your life will change. It will change dramatically. Can you say amen? Thanksgiving changes our perspective. Thanksgiving changes our perspective. Man, this is deep to me. Here's the word. We're going to put it up. When we choose, everybody say choose. When we choose to give thanks in every situation, it shifts our eyes from our problems to God's presence. From my problem, what's in front of me, to what I am surrendered to, which is my Lord and Savior. I begin to say that, God, I know the weapons are formed. I know that my kid's fallen into addiction. I know my spouse has been cheating on me. I know that I'm about to lose my job. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know what's going on, whatever the turmoil is. And you switch from the praise, God, I'll praise you for it, to God, even if you don't, I want to worship you. So no matter what I got to go through today, what I'm telling you, God, is this. I will worship you in the good, the bad, and the ugly. God, you know I don't want that to happen, but I will worship you. I'll take that thorny rose stem, and God, I'll lift it to you, and I'll expect a rosebud in return. But focusing back to God puts things into perspective. It cultivates an attitude, if you will, of gratitude. This doesn't mean ignoring the pain you're going through this morning, but acknowledging God's sovereignty and his faithfulness all the way through it. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you, and he never will, and he has promised you that in his word, and his word is not a lie. Proper perspective. Second, it builds spiritual maturity. Everybody say, this is the part I don't like. Say it like you mean it. This means quit calling me, Pastor. Quit showing up at my workplace. And quit chasing me down the grocery aisle. Well, I can't face it. I said, it ain't me you got to worry about. It's the Lord. He told me to chase you down and love you in spite of you. All right, because he did it for me. He told me, now I'm leading him. Go tell him I did it for you. Listen, let's just keep going. A lifestyle of gratitude reflects growth. It reflects growth, which means to grow something, if you grow a muscle, you got to tear it apart and build it back up. And you're going to have some spiritual muscle, means you're going to be tore apart, but you will be built back up. Thankfulness is a mark of spiritual maturity, and when we're mature, we don't just praise God when he answers our prayers. We also thank him for shaping us through the hardships that we're going through. Now, listen, have you ever been homeless? I have. A college dropout, family disowned. supposed to be the football star, and I just like, I don't want to do it. I walked away from it. From that day, I was disowned. But let me tell you something. I didn't know God then, but I have something inside of me that says, I've got to fight. I got to come back from this. And it's the same through with addiction or whatever it might be. You got to have some fight in you. And if you're a born-again believer, you have everything already inside of you that you can come back from. He is the comeback agent, amen. Look at that. That's powerful, right? But God, go ahead and shape me through my hardships. It doesn't say it's going to rain on, it says it's going to rain on the just and the unjust, just alike. Gratitude, look at this, reminds us that our relationship with God is not transactional, but relational. He's counting on you. Jonathan, remember your thorny rose stem? Yeah, 11 months ago, I remember it. Where was God when my baby died and I was addicted because of the pain? I don't know if I even believe in your God. And we answered him, God loves you, man. He's never left you or forsaken you even in those hard times. I can tell you today, 11 months later, he absolutely believes that with everything inside of him, that God redeemed him and healed him through those hard, thorny times. And how he got that was because he figured out who he is, that God's a redeemer and a healer. Think about that. Third point, Thanksgiving opens the door to more of God. Thanksgiving opens the door to more of God. When our hearts are grateful, we become more aware of God's ongoing work in our lives, but we got to begin to the place where we are grateful. As gratitude overflows, it invites God's grace, his provision, and here's what we lack today, his peace. If you need the peace of God, invite him. God, I'm homeless. God, I'm addicted. God, I'm in a bad relationship. God, I got a bad job. God, I gotta, and I need you to fix it. He said, well, Ian, if I don't, will you worship me? Well, sure, I'll worship you. Then he'll get you into the place in a posture where you'll worship him for who he is. Gratitude overflows and invites God into your situation. A thankful heart attracts more of God's grace and more of God's provision. It also fuels joy and it deepens our trust, knowing that God is good. We can rest in his faithfulness, not our own, even when we don't understand it. And like that song says, when you don't even see it, he is still working. Amen. Fourth point, Thanksgiving. Now, this is the one I want you not to forget. Thanksgiving is a witness to others. Oh, I thought, I'll pick on Mark. He can take it better. I thought he was saved. I thought he was a deacon in the church. I thought he was your armor bearer. And this is all false. I'm making stuff up. That's all true. But I seen him out getting drunk with everybody else. I seen him cussing when someone did something. I seen him living like the world. You think he's got a witness then? He don't to that person. He don't to that person. Do you hear what I'm saying? So God wants you to be instant in season and out of season. Be ready. Because the enemy is he roars like a lion. He's looking for someone to devour. And if he can go ahead and take Mark's witness out to one person, they can tell everybody else, man, that guy's as fake as he can come. Right? That's not who we are. So he guards himself. Everybody say guard. This is good because you think about Thanksgiving as a witness to others. Living in thanks is not just for our spiritual benefit. It's your testimony. So when I talk to someone about my armor bearer, Mark Bear, they say, man, that guy right there follows Jesus. I say, oh, I know. I said, he's got the dirtiest job in the church. He prays for me every day, all day. It's his job to cover me. Why? Because I'm up here storming hell for you. And I said, brother, get my back. I need you to have my back, and I'm going to go into hell. I'm kicking it open with a water pistol, and I'm pulling people out of hell. That's our job. That's our job. You hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Listen, living in thanks is not just for our spiritual benefit, it's our testimony. When others see Christians living gratefully, even amidst trials, it draws them to God. As the redeemed of the Lord, we are called to tell the story of what he has done for us, amen? Our gratitude becomes a living sermon to the entire world. Third point, you guys, I preached you sleep already? I promised the turkey and ham and all that stuff back here. All right, so I'm going to back door. I'll beat all of you there. Third point, how do we cultivate thanksgiving? How do we make this happen? Does everybody know? I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to change this guy's name to Lorenzo. No pun intended. His name was David in my story, but I'm going to use Lorenzo because we know Lorenzo's, right? All right, it says, Little Lorenzo in the Broccoli is the name of this story. A child named David was asked to give thanks before Thanksgiving dinner. He thanked God for friends, the family, the food, the turkey, the pie, and our favorite Cool Whip, of course, and everything in between. Then he paused, and he said, Little Lorenzo said, if I thank God for the broccoli, won't he know I'm lying? Everybody catching that? Well, you know that's the truth because most of us don't like broccoli. This is both funny, but yet it's still profound. Children remind us how honest and vulnerable gratitude can be. It encourages us to reflect whether our thankfulness is genuine and do we thank God just for the good things or even for the things we don't particularly like the broccoli of life. You hear what I'm saying? So I thought about this and how to close this, and I said, let's take some practical steps. These practical steps to move from holiday gratitude to everyday, whole life, Thanksgiving. The first thing is take note of God's blessings in your life. Develop awareness. Often we forget to recognize the source of our blessing. We think that we is the smartest one that got the job, got out of homeless, got out of addiction, got out of the bad marriage, got out of the bad job. But really, he said, I'm just developing and moving you. I'm putting you where I need you to be at. And a lot of preachers always suggest, take notes. Take notes. I see a lot of you doing it right now. You take notes, then you apply them to your daily life. Practice a gratitude journal, if you will. When you begin to write down what you're going through today, don't forget to go back and say, oh, God, you brought me from that. And simply pause each day and name the things that you are thankful for. It's really that simple. So often we forget that. Second point, pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says it this way, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Let our prayers be rooted and be rooted in thanks, being thankful. Paul links prayer with thanksgiving, present our requests with thanksgiving, bring all our concerns to God. Because God's big enough to handle our concerns. In prayer, even when we bring our worries or our needs, start or end by thanking God for who he is and what he's already done in our lives. He's already did it, and we begin to think back, and we need to be thankful for what he's going to do. Third point, make praise a habit. Make it a habit. This is so important. You know when you're having a bad day and you turn on the wrong song and you get blessed by it? Yeah. Yeah. Remember Hebrews 13:15, I said I'd mention it again. We read this earlier. It says continually, consistently, intentionally, verbal expression, worship God because of who he is. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Offer praise, it says here, continually. Find ways to praise God. In the small moments, in the morning when you get up, in the evening before you go to bed, before every meal, even in the car, just give God thanks and praise and honor and worship for who he is. Yes. Fourth point, give thanks. Here's the one that's kind of hard in hard times. In hard times. This is perhaps the most challenging, but it's also the most important, if you will. It's easy to give thanks when things are going well. It's even harder when life is hurting us. Yet the call is to give thanks, and it says, in all circumstances. When trials come, we need to shift our focus, and we need to begin to remember God's promises, his character, his presence in our lives. Gratitude demonstrates our trust in the Lord. Gratitude demonstrates our trust in the Lord, especially when we don't see an immediate resolution. Fifth point, share. Share your thankfulness. Testify. Anybody hasn't given their testimony on Thursday, raise your hand. If you haven't given it, come on, there's a lot of you that has not given it. Put them way up there, all of them. If you haven't shared in here, get them up. Celebrate recovery on Thursday nights. Put them way up. Hurry up, I'm going to take a picture of it. All right, in the back, snap a picture of that. And I want you to share your testimony. Somebody needs to hear your testimony. We got to search for people to give testimonies on Thursday, and there's 30 or 40 people coming here on Thursday, and they just come out of recovery, or they're cycled through, and they're trying to do what's right, and we act like, well, God's blessed me. They can get it on their own. You hear me? Everybody said, God saved me. To testify of his goodness on my life. Once I've been saved, my job is to tell everybody of the goodness of God. Period. Now I'm just going to go period because you can't handle the explanation. And since she brought up my explanation point, she's the one that said, I don't know if I'm ready to share my testimony. I said, your husband did a great job. I don't know if I'm ready yet. I said, go ahead, Lord, get her. She shared it, but man, did God get her, and man, did God use her. But that's how the enemy will tell us. You ain't ready. Ain't nobody going to listen to you. Everybody make fun of what you say or what you do. Who cares what everybody else said? You serve Jesus Christ. If you can't say nothing else, he healed me, redeemed me, and set me free. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was in darkness, but now I walk in light. You got something to say. Everybody catching all this, right? Testify. Share your testimony. Tell others what God has done for you. Let your gratitude be vocal and allow it to be visible. People shouldn't be questioning whether you're saved again. No new people, new places, new things. There's a brand new fire. There's an ignition. The people that's around you before, they'll either get in line with what you're doing or they'll be singed and burned off in the name of Jesus. He makes all things new. All right. Listen, I get accused of a lot of stuff. I love it. You like someone falsely accuse you? Do you like it? I love it. Because I know on the other side, the accusation is my blessing. And you got to know the devil ain't going, he can say what he wants to say about me and deter what he thinks he's going to deter. You cannot stop what God's doing. That's what God's saying about your life. He is going to bless your life. Let me give you this next point. A vision for a thanks living community. That's what this church is to be about. I'm here because of you. I'm here because of you. No other reason. Imagine my church, the church that you're sitting in, where Thanksgiving is not just a once a year moment, but a defining posture into our community. Where we go out and find the shorties. And we tell him, brother, I know you do, as a drunk, you don't want to hear this, but Jesus Christ loves you. You're made in the image of Jesus Christ. Leave me alone. Get away from me. Decades of it. Joe, where you at? Decades of telling me, leave me alone. I want to do this, God. He's lived with me three times, and he's lived with me in my house for 3 years. And I keep telling him, God loves you, son. You can run all you want. You're made in his image. Where do I find him out? In a crack house. Think about that. You got to walk in a crack house to tell somebody Jesus loves you. Yep. What? It's everywhere. Remember, I'm born again, and my job is tell everybody. They used to tell me in that one crack house on Clark Street, they said, oh, here he come again, man. That dude does not get it. They blow crack smoke in my face. They cuss me out. They threaten me. And I kept going in there. I said, woo, Jesus loves you. I said, woo, you're making me preach good now. Yeah, you might got to go through some adversity in your life, but let me tell you, God wants to bless you beyond measure. How about Sundays? People come not only to ask God for things, but to thank him for what he's already done. How about Bible study on Wednesday nights and Thursday night CR? People share how God has helped them progress through the good, the bad, the ugly times, and they've been redeemed and healed and set free. How about the Lighthouse outreach that we did yesterday for all the youth in our area? Our service to the community is not motivated by fear or guilt. It's motivated by gratitude. And we're able to tell them kids no matter what. Debbie said it yesterday. I was that kid in Fulton. I was the one that had to do with that. But God, I'm grateful to him. He's healed me, and he's redeemed me, and he set my feet up on a rock, and he's blessed my life, and I want to bless everybody that comes up in my path. Look at that. Gratitude, not guilt. Gratitude, not guilt. If you're guilting into any ministry, keep it. We serve because we are thankful for what God has done for us, and we want others to experience His love, not our own. We can't love them like that. But God, through you, can love them. Amen. Do we say, well, you're going to hell if you practice this lifestyle? Will you go to hell? Listen, it might be true. But he said the first thing you need to do is love them. They can't see Jesus when you ain't full of love. Where our job is to be so thanksgiving, no matter what they say, or, oh, they're haters of this, they're phobic of this. Hey, yeah, I guess you could call us that. I love Jesus. He died for you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to come to Him. He'll do what only He can do. Gratitude, not guilt. Then we teach new believers and children that Thanksgiving is not seasonal. It's spiritual, constant. It's transformational. Yes. We just finished with the football team all the way down to Xenia. The Bad News Bears is what I call them. They come over the hill and say, oh, man, these kids are a mess. And then comes the cheerleader coach. She was a mess. So here, there ain't no cheerleaders, but we had cheerleaders. And all of a sudden, them kids said, these kids from the ghetto. I heard somebody say, don't you forget we from the south side down there in little old Xenia. But what happened was they began to see our kids. They began to see, man, they love Jesus. And that's what we're here for. We're supposed to love Jesus. And then the director of all of them come out and he said, give them high five. He said, I get some pictures of them cheerleaders. Can I get some pictures? Man, you guys are awesome, man. We just love Jesus. Some of the Christian coaches got mad and started hollering and cussing us out. We were whooping them. Yeah, and one of the dads that don't go to church, he stood up and he said, I got your back, Pastor. And I said, no, man, it's all right. There comes Tawana. She said, he's forgetting we from the south side. Yeah. Watch what you provoke, right? But it came down to the truth was this. We represented Christ very well. And what happened is these kids that was there, many of them, come from broken homes. Go to bed hungry, don't have the needs met, don't have the utilities they need. They've been hurt, they've been violated, they've been disappointed by life. But our job is to tell them how good God is. And so today they can say, well, I was going to Fulton, but God's going to use you today to minister to those same kids 20-some years later, amen? Do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? We teach new believers and children not that Thanksgiving is not seasonal, it's not a holiday, it's a spiritual constant and transformational act out of us. The kind of community, a Thanksgiving community, changes not just individual hearts, but the entire world around us. In closing this morning, I have a story I wanted to share with you. The humble Tibetan couple. Are you guys ready for this story? In his missionary work in Tibet, Dr. Albert Shelton encouraged an old couple who traveled 5 days just to give thanks to the doctor for his help there. They bowed so low that they bumped their heads out of humility on the floor when they bowed to this man. And they offered him a dirty piece of butter, 6 eggs, and a rooster. Simple gifts, but this deep, felt, heartfelt gifts. Their gratitude wasn't definitely based on the wealth, even though it could have been everything that they had, but on a relational debt and humility. This story illustrates, and this is why I chose it, this story illustrates how true thanks living. Living, a true thanksgiving sees value not in how much we give, but in the posture of our hearts. In the posture of our hearts. Everybody catching that? Man, I went through here like humility, like a wave of humility. Even small gifts or acts of service when offered in humility can be powerful expressions of thankfulness, and they can change people's worlds, and it can change their destination. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. It's a reminder of God's goodness, His provision, His love, but it also is a calling to live every day and live it with gratitude. As we go forth this morning in closing, I want to ask you to stand over the congregation as the praise team comes up. We're going to have a couple songs, then we're going to go feast. We're going to get fatter. I'm going to get fatter. I forgot I was talking to, I gotta watch out what I say. Don't move around too much. I want you to hear this. Don't miss the closing, please. It's important. And I want to tell you why it's so important. Because whoever's in the sound of my voice this morning, God give me this before I walk down the steps. Okay, I want you to listen to me now. As you go forth, I want to challenge you this morning, and this is what God give to me. Let gratitude guide your prayers. What are we talking about here this morning? Thank God for redeeming you from, you ready? Now, as I call this condition out, I want you to come up here. And if it ain't yours, stay right in your seats. I want God to redeem me today, and I want to be thankful, and I want to have thanks living because I've been unthankful, because I've been self-centered. Ain't nobody got these. That's okay, because I've faced betrayal, and I've become the betrayer, because I've been a false witness to a lying and dying world. Jonathan, come on, middle of the aisle. Because addiction, because of divorce, because of cheating, lying, stealing, bankruptcy. I got this one. Thank God for redeeming me from myself. Amen. Thank God for redeeming me 2 weeks ago from suicide, from hate, from anger, from rage, from resentment. Thank God for redeeming me from anxiety and depression and sorrowness and ungodliness. Thank God for restoring me into a right mind, not a wrong mind. Thank God that you forgive me today, because I'm really not that thankful, God. Thank God that I repent of me. And God, I ask you to cover my sin. And God, I want to live a life of thanks living. If you look around, the place is full, right? Why? We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. As we close in prayer with praise, and we're going to do praise and worship. But, man, the altar's always open. Right where you're at, lay hands on each other, man. Whatever you've come from, all those things that he listed, it touches all of us. Amen. It really does. But he wants you to be thankful, because today you're in a place where they're telling you, thanks living. Like Todd said, I'm blind. I don't even believe in miracles, but I do believe in Jesus. Yes. If I believe in Jesus, he'll do what only he can do. They're going to start the music. As they start the music, let's begin to get to the altar and pray and worship. And let's be thankful for each other here this morning.